Our passage this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll actually begin reading with verse 2, or the last part of verse 2. In my Bible, the heading is False Teachers and True Contentment. And then we'll read on through to verse 19. Before we turn our attention to God's Word this morning, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to Your Word, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Timothy, chapter 6, beginning with the end of verse 2. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. Teach and urge these things. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made a good commitment, unstained, In Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made a good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. The word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, This morning we direct our attention to our deacons. Now, typically when we think of deacons, we think of finances. Taking the offering, counting the offering, distributing the offering. When we read our form earlier, we read that the work of the deacons consists in the faithful and diligent gathering of the offerings, which God's people in gratitude make to their Lord, in the prevention of poverty, in the humble and cheerful distribution of gifts according to the need, and in relief of the distressed, both with kind deeds and with words of comfort and encouragement from Scripture. So what is the job description of our deacons? What is their calling? This morning, we're going to see how the work of our deacons is more than just handling money. The deacons are called to serve. And when it comes down to it, their job, their calling is not just financial. It's also spiritual. P. Y. DeYoung, in his book on Ministry of Mercy, explains how we cannot forget that essentially the work of the deacon is spiritual in character. Yes, they take care of the finances and the physical needs and the concerns, but their work is mainly spiritual in that the office of deacon was set by Christ to promote his work of grace and salvation. DeYoung goes on to say, basically the church has one task, that of preaching the gospel of grace to the lost world. You might be thinking, well, the deacons aren't called to preach the gospel. It's the minister. Yes, that's true. But we're going to see how the deacons are part of bringing that gospel of grace to a lost and broken world. How they're the ones putting that gospel of grace into action. The form we read this morning also stated that the office of deacon is based upon the love and concern of Christ for his own. This concern is so great that he considers what is done to one of these least of his brothers as done to him. In this way, our Lord identifies the needy as his representatives in our expression of sympathy and benevolent service on earth. The deacons, in that way, are called to help us love as Christ has loved us. To express the word of God in our actions, the deacon's job is to encourage a sympathy and benevolent service, to encourage our good works. And all of this is evidence of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's just like James tells us, show me your work without faith and I'll show you my faith. Or show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Putting our faith into action. And this is where the job description, the calling of the deacon lies. They serve by helping us serve, by helping us put our faith into action, produce fruits of righteousness. And that's our theme this morning. Deacons serve by helping us serve. And this involves our deacons, first of all, having a servant's heart. Secondly, this involves our deacons confronting us when we don't have a servant's heart. And then third and finally, it involves our deacons encouraging us when we do. And so first, having a servant's heart. If someone is called a runner, or even if you describe yourself as a runner, it's not just a name or a title. But rather, it's based on what you do. If you call someone a runner, or if you're called a runner, it's because you run. So you're a runner. And the same is true for this word deacon. It's not a title as much as it is a description of what they do. It's an adjective. They deacon. They serve. Diakonian is the Greek word for serving. You are called a deacon because you serve, and you're doing so because you are called to be Christ to us, to serve as Christ served. Christ was prophet, priest, and king. Those are the offices that Christ holds, prophet, priest, and king. And those offices are expressed in the offices that we have in the church. You have Christ as prophet, the one who proclaims the word of God. And so ministers proclaim the word of God. You have priest, the deacons accept the offerings of the people, provide a way for the people to give their first fruits and sacrifices to God. And you have Christ as king expressed in the elders who are leading and governing according to God's word. And so you have proclaiming God's word. You have governing by God's word, and then you have living out or expressing God's word, which is once again where our deacons fit in. And an example of this is in Acts 6. The widows are being cared for. They're being cared for by the church. There is a ministry of mercy going on, but there's a concern that this is becoming such a huge job that some of the widows are being neglected. The apostles can't do it all. And so the solution is deacons, those who serve tables specifically. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Acts 6 verse 2. And the word there for serve tables or to serve is diakonian. Deacon. Diakonian, serving, ministering. Tables, meals, meeting physical needs, or ministering the word. Serving or ministering, diakonian, the word. Spiritual needs. And so the seven in Acts 6 are carrying out the ministry of deeds, showing compassion for physical needs, while the apostles are serving and ministering and addressing the spiritual needs, ministering the word of God. And so at that point, as we saw in the form there, you have a distinction between the two offices of elder and overseer and deacons and servants. And so deacons, you're imitating Christ as you serve, as you deacon. Matthew 20 verse 28, Jesus tells us that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that word there is diakonio, the same word again, deacon. Jesus came to deacon. He came to serve. In this way, deacons serve, but we take it one step further because they serve by helping us serve, helping us deacon as well. They work by equipping us to work. Deacons, you don't do all the work or handle all the problems yourself, but rather you inspire and equip the rest of us in service. You equip and you lead the congregation to serve. Now, there are certain aspects of your calling, deacons, that are completely confidential, and it doesn't involve the rest of us at all. There's confidential matters that you keep to yourself. You know the private needs. You write the private checks. You're in charge is to respect our need for dignity and to hold in trust all sensitive matters that are entrusted to you. So that's one aspect of your calling. But what we're addressing this morning, what we're looking at in light of this passage, is the call that deacons have to equip us, the rest of us, to serve. Let me give you a made-up example. Let's say that someone in the church has to see the doctor every week. And they can't drive, or they shouldn't drive because of the medicine they're taking or the treatments they're receiving. And a family member or the pastor might hear of this need, and they let the deacons know. Now, the deacons can take up this need, and they can do it themselves. They might even take care of providing a ride for that first week. But their calling isn't to cover everything and do it all themselves. They serve by helping us serve. So they are going to call one of us in the congregation and give us the opportunity to put our faith into action, to produce the fruit of righteousness, to store up treasures in heaven. Another example is the deacons equipping us to serve by sending out that email, letting us know about the opportunity. Passing that offering bag, giving us the opportunity to serve, express our gratitude. And when we pass up that opportunity, it's like us saying no to someone who's asking for help. Our deacons serve by giving us the opportunity to give, to serve, to use our gifts, to express our thankfulness to God. Their job is to express the gospel and to help us express the gospel in our lives. They serve by helping us serve with a servant's heart. That's our first point. And our second point is that our deacons also confront us when we don't have this servant's heart. That's our second point this morning. They're confronting us when we don't have this servant's heart. As we look at our passage in verses 3-5, Paul is addressing those who are teaching false doctrines. They're involved in these controversies, malicious talk, they're conceding, they understand nothing, they've been robbed of the truth, and at the end he states they think that godliness is a means to financial gain or a means of gain. Imagining that godliness, the end of verse 5 there, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So we're talking about financial gain here. So here you have this attitude of the false teachers that is wrong because they're trying to gain financially, get financially ahead because of their godliness. Their motivation for their religion, their so-called godliness, is financial. Stuff. Money. Materialistic. Now, at first you might be thinking, wow, that's completely ridiculous. Who in their right mind would think that godliness or religion is a means to financial gain? But the reality is that we don't have to look very far at all to see the health, wealth preaching, name it and claim it. God wants you to have your best life right now. All of that is what Paul is warning Timothy against. They think that their godliness, their religion, is a way to get ahead financially. If you have enough faith, God's going to give you what you want when it comes to your house or your vehicle. Health, wealth, preaching. Which is actually a complete lie. Paul corrects this lie, this wrong perspective in verse 6. By saying that godliness with contentment is great gain. If you want to talk about getting ahead, if you want to talk about great gain, godliness with contentment, that's what it means to truly live. That's what it means to truly gain. And deacons, you're helping us to realize how wealthy we really are. And you do this by helping us see that the best things in life aren't things at all. As you serve, as you minister, you're encouraging us to realize what true wealth is, and it's not money. What is great gain? What's the great gain that Paul is telling Timothy about here? What is true godliness? Well, verse 6 says that it's godliness with contentment. What is godliness? It is knowing Jesus Christ in the mind and in the heart. And that knowing Christ, that relationship that we have with Christ, is expressed in our life. We are rooted into Christ and we're producing the fruit of that salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness. Having Christ as our Savior, having the Spirit produce fruit within us. That's described as godliness with, that's described as great gain. What more could you want? It's more than we could ever ask for. It is the greatest wealth. The ultimate investment because it yields eternal rewards. eternal life. Contentment. This also is the work of the Spirit within us. It's when we realize that we have all we will ever need or ever want, and it's not because we have stuff, but rather because we have a Savior. It's not so much about the money. It's ultimately about our heart. And that's what P.Y. DeYoung was talking about when he said, we can't forget that essentially the work of the deacon is spiritual in character. Our money, our gift, it's simply an indicator of where our heart is. It's kind of like when that check engine light goes on in your vehicle. Now, if I'm driving down the road and my check engine light goes on and I'm annoyed by that, I don't fix it by taking a hammer to my dashboard. Now that check engine light isn't flashing anymore. The problem's solved. No, that doesn't work. It's a deeper problem than that. It's indicating something more. Well, in the same way, money is simply the indicator of where our heart is at. The more we have, the less we have. It really doesn't make a difference because it's ultimately about our heart. And this text, the passage we're looking at this morning, and even our deacons, they're not concerned about the dollar figures or the money in and of itself. Now our treasurer is giving me a look saying, yeah, I am concerned about the dollars and those figures. But more important, dollars and figures are important. That's not what Paul is telling Timothy here. But more important is the attitude of our hearts. What's going on in our hearts. And that's what our deacons are called to address. When you look at verse 10, they're addressing our love for money. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. So our deacons are addressing where our true love is, our love for money. It's not so much about the money, but how our heart responds to money. And this hits us all, whether you're the millionaire having this love for money, or the student who's in debt because of student's loans who has this love for money. They're addressing our misplaced hope. If you look at verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches. It's not so much the money, but rather our hearts placing that hope on money rather than on God. And our deacons are watching out for that. Is my hope in wealth or is my hope in my God? Does that number in my bank account make me feel safe and give me hope for the future? Or is my hope found in the fact that in death and in life I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ? And our deacons are also, verse 17, confronting us in our financial arrogance. That haughtiness in verse 17 because of riches. Thinking that I am so much better than those other people who don't have anything. That arrogance because of the numbers in our bank account, which make us think that we are better people than those who don't have as much as we do. That we are better because of the stuff we own than those who don't. Finding value and importance in our stuff and in our things rather than where true value is found, where true gain is found, where true life is found. Deacons are helping us to realize that the best things in life aren't actually things at all. Now, how do our deacons confront us? Confront our hearts in this way. Well, they're teaching us to be merciful. Why do we show mercy? Because this is the mercy that Christ has shown to us. We give our wealth and we give our time and we give our ability because Christ gave everything for us. Our deacons are teaching us that benevolence is about who we are in Christ. An outworking of our life in Christ. It's part of who we are in Christ. Benevolence isn't just a matter of financial assistance. It's not about the money. It's not about the financial assistance. It's about the heart. We love enough and care enough to meet needs when we see them. We're not banks giving out loans or financial aid. We are Christians striving to be like Christ. We give without expecting anything in return. We give in a kind and a charitable and a loving way because this is exactly what Jesus has done for us. We have compassion for those in need. This is sympathy. This is care. Exemplifying Christ. And it's shown in acts of kindness and consideration for those who are going through difficulties or even crisis. In this way, our deacons help us serve by having a servant's heart. By confronting us when we don't. And third and finally, by encouraging us when we do. Encouraging us when we do have a servant's heart. Encouraging us to realize where our true wealth is, to live out God's word in our life, to put our faith into action so that they may take hold, verse 19, of that which is truly life. What is great gain? What is true wealth? It's godliness and contentment. Knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and expressing that in our life. Contentment. Realizing that we have all that we will ever need or want, not in our stuff, but in our God. And this is the attitude, deacons, that you are encouraging and growing in us. Once again, not so much about the money, but rather it's about my heart. The money's just the indicator, check engine light, of something that's going on deeper inside. Encourage us, deacons, in that way to enjoy God's provision. Look at verse 17. Charge the rich in this present age not to be haughty, so don't be arrogant or to set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather set your hope on God, who what? Who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Instead of us longing and looking for what we don't have, as Christians we seek to enjoy what God has provided for us to enjoy. This is part of the contentment deacons are encouraging us to have. Not placing our hope in the stuff that God gives us, but rather we're placing our hope in God. The right attitude to have with our stuff is that it's a gift from God who richly provides it for us to enjoy. Encourage us to have a servant's heart when it comes to doing good. Verse 18. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Instead of being arrogant and haughty about wealth and riches, instead of putting our hope in our wealth and our riches, we are to be rich in the work that we do, in our good works. Deacons serve by helping us serve. We're told to be rich in good deeds. This isn't financial gain. That's not true riches. The real wealth is storing up this treasure in heaven. Verse 19, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future. If you want to talk about a long-term investment, there it is, verse 19. This is faith in action. Deacons are helping us express God's word in our lives. You're getting us in gear when we don't feel like moving. You're encouraging us to live out an active faith, a productive faith, a fruitful faith. And you're encouraging us to have this servant's heart. A servant's heart of generosity. And sharing, verse 18. And at this point, with our attitude in the right place, our heart and our perspective, we can't help but being generous and willing to share. Why? Because when you look back at verse 13, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made a good confession. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Christ Jesus, all of this is centered around the gospel. It's centered around God. It's centered around Christ who came and he gave himself for us. So as we conclude this morning, this text and our deacons aren't primarily concerned about the dollar figures and the money in and of itself, as much as they're concerned about the attitude of our hearts. Deacons, if at the end of the day, all that you do as a deacon is collect the money and count the money and go to meetings, then you aren't doing what you've been called to do. Yes, that is part of it, but you're not just accountants of this church. You are deacons. And you're called to deacon, you're called to serve, to be the ministers of mercy. You're called to be Christ to us. And the finances of the church are just the tools that you use to show that mercy of Christ. And the reason that we're striving to have servant hearts, deacon hearts, the reason that the deacons are helping us do this is because of the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but rather to serve, to deacon. And to give his life up as a ransom for many, for us, for me, for you. Deacons, our call to you, God's call to you, is to help us to be more like Christ as we serve, as we deacon together. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you, Lord, this morning, asking that you will work on our hearts, that you will remove our misplaced hope and any arrogance that we may have, and replace that with a hope that is found in you alone. Replace it with a heart that is generous and willing to share. Because we know where true life is found, and it's in Christ alone. Lord, help us live out the richness of the gospel each and every day. And bless our deacons as they serve, as they deacon. And as they help us to serve as well, bringing you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.